हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तमविद्विषावहैः ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
की भक्ति रसमृत सिंधु. Then, okay, we're chapters 27 through 30. So, contents 27 is symptoms of ecstatic love. 28, existential ecstatic love. 29, expressions of love for Krishna. And 30, further features of ecstatic love for Krishna. Chapter 7, 27, symptoms of ecstatic love. Beginning of the second wave in the southern section called Anubhava. Right, so now we've discussed Vibhava, right? We discussed about that in Vibhava you have the Alambana, so the Vishaya and Ashray, how Krishna is always the Vishaya, he's the enjoyer. That's very important because if Krishna's not enjoyed, right? The living entities are enjoyed, right? It means Krishna enjoys the living entities, and because we're being enjoyed by him, that's where how we become happy. So when him being happy, we're happy. Right? So that's very important, because otherwise then there's always the idea how we'll get from this, what we'll get from serving God. You know, and then because we've done, what kind of facilities will we get from him, from his energies? In other words, the energies, we see them as separate from God so that they're enjoyable by us. But if they're understood that they're non-different from him, then they're not for our enjoyment. Right? So it's a very important point, this one of the Alambana, is understanding who's who here, right? Then you have the Udipana, means that the qualities, the devotees, the situations, the bodily, the physical, all these different things that are cause for ecstatic emotions to arise in the heart of the devotee, that attraction for Krishna to arise. Right, so that's the Udipan. So, and the qualities themselves, then they are inherently Krishna's sarup, the Krishna's nature. So they are who he is, what makes him the Vishaya and not the Ashraya. And at the same time, it's also the Udipans, the cause of ecstatic love arising within the devotee. Right? So now, that ecstatic love arises in the devotee, that brings us to the next point, the Anubhava. Or what would be the symptoms like that? Ecstatic symptoms of ecstatic love. So the Vibhava will be where the Rati and all that, where the attraction to Krishna is coming up, and how is the exchange between the devotee and Krishna. Right? And so the Anubhavas then will be the results of that. What will be the effects of that? That you can see that it's going on. The rasa is happening. Outline of Anubhava. 1. Definition of Anubhava. 2. Sita. So A. Singing. B. Yawning. C. Breathing heavily. D. Disregard. E. Drooling. F. Smiling. And 3. Kshepana. A. Dancing. B. Rolling on the ground. C. Shouting. D. Stretching. Stretching the body. E. Bellowing. F. Laughing loudly. G. Whirling about. H. Hiccups. They are not illustrated in this order in the text. Right? So the sita, then that would be what's specifically happening to the body. Right? Something where it was just the senses are used, and the others where you're engaging in some kind of activity.
Yeah, when the tears are more prominent.
Yeah, the activity is more prominent, or just something is just there, like the smiling, drooling, disregard, heavy breathing, things like that. And this is that it's a mental state, and it causes, therefore, an effect in the body. That is different from the sattvika bhavas, which are an effect. It's not coming from the mind. It means the mind affects the pranas. The pranas affect And so therefore, then you have, many times you see overlaps between Anubhava and Sattvika Bhava. But one, it's a physical symptom coming from the how it affects the life airs. So one's a mood, and so you could change the mood. The other one is you can't really do anything about it. Yeah. Like that.
And also they say that, Rupa Goswami explains that Sattvika Bhava doesn't include intelligence at all. Intelligence just doesn't take part of the whole thing.
Okay. Intelligence. So you can decide how to use and things like that. Well, there it just happens.
Although it's spontaneous also.
It's spontaneous also. Yeah.
Still, intelligence somehow
plays a role. Okay. Okay. 2-2-1. So that means it's the second part. Second part means the Southern Ocean. Second chapter.
Second wave.
Okay, and then within that, then the verse. Okay, Anubhavas refers to those things which express the bhava situated within the heart. They are predominantly external transformations and are thus called udbhasvara, shining in the body. 2-2-2. External transformations known as Anubhavas are actions such as dancing, rolling on the ground, singing, shouting, stretching the body, bellowing, yawning, breathing heavily, disregarding others, drooling, laughing loudly, whirling about, and hiccups. Right. So the general point is going to be, it means you're talking here. It is Anubhava is an expression of the mood, the bhava that one's experiencing from the vibhava that's situated within the heart. Right? And then they are predominantly external transformations. Basically. Whether they're more subtle or more obvious, then that seems to be the difference between this, Shita and Shepana. Right? So, like that. So they're shining the body. Then the external transformations like that are like this. And so therefore, being external transformations, these are what can be perceived. Sorry?
Shita means mild.
Shita means mind, okay.
Mild.
Okay, Shita means mild, and Kshepana?
I don't, it means nothing. It should be
less mild.
Higher.
Wild?
Less mild. Mild and wild, yes. Yes.
Turn that first letter over.
Yeah. The mild and the wild. Yeah, that could be a good thing, right? Srila Prabhupada. The bodily symptoms manifested by a devotee in expressing ecstatic love for Krishna are called Anubhava. Practical examples of Anubhava are as follows. Dancing, rolling on the ground, singing very loudly, stretching the body, crying loudly, yawning, breathing very heavily, neglecting the presence of others, drooling, laughing like a madman, wheeling the head and belching. When there is an extraordinary excess of ecstatic love with all of these bodily symptoms manifested, one feels relieved transcendentally. Jiva Goswami. Verse 2.1.12 has already described Anubhavas with the phrase smitadi, smiling and other items. Thus, smiling should be understood to be included in the list in this verse, which is elaborated on the word adi of that previous verse, right? So it means in the last ocean. You know, it's giving an overview of the whole. In the Vibhava, then it's giving some overview, and so then. Yeah. 2-2-3. Anubhavas are of two types, with the suitable names of Shita, meaning cool, with a lack of bodily movement, and Kshepana, meaning throwing about, involving distinct bodily movements. Like a Shita, you say, is also, yeah, cool. Has that cool element. So then, and you're saying mild. So it means it's less. So the cool means it's less than the Kshepana is throwing about. Shita includes singing, yawning, breathing heavily, disregarding others, drooling and smiling. Kshepana includes dancing, rolling on the ground, shouting, stretching the body, bellowing, laughing loudly, whirling about and having hiccups. Right, so you can see this smiling will be the one, the loud singing will be the other. Right, so like that. Srila Prabhupada, these symptoms are divided into two parts. One is called Shita, and the other is called Kshepana. When there is yawning, the symptoms are called Shita, and when there is dancing, they are called Kshepana. Jiva Goswami. The phrase Gita, Drembhadya means singing, yawning, and the items immediately following, namely breathing heavily, disregard, and drooling. Smiling from verse 2.1.12 is also included in the Shita Anubhavas. 2.2.4. So now they'll go through them all, right? Explain them one by one. Dancing. Sing the moonlight face of Hari, radiating sweetness as he practiced his flute playing. Lord Shiva began to tremble and then began to dance in the sky along with Ganesh to the rhythm of his drum. Srila Prabhupada. While watching the Rasa dance performed by Lord Krishna and the gopis, Lord Shiva beheld the beautiful face of Krishna and immediately began to dance and beat upon his small dim-dim drum. While Lord Shiva was dancing in ecstasy, his eldest son, Ganesh, joined him. 2.2.5. Falling on the ground from the third canto. Please tell me whether Akrura, the son of Swapalka, is doing well. He is a faultless soul, surrendered unto the personality of Godhead. He once lost his mental equilibrium due to his ecstasy of transcendental love and fell down on the dust of a road which was marked with the footprints of Lord Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.1.32. 2.2.6. Another example. O Krishna, because of her new attraction for you, Radha is not in control of her limbs. On smelling the fragrance of your forest garland, becoming intoxicated, she has fallen on the hard ground of Braja and injured her beautiful body. Srila Prabhupada, rolling on the ground. In the third canto, first chapter, verse 32 of Srimad Bhagavatam, Vidura acquires from Uddhava, my dear friend, is Akrura in an auspicious condition? Not only is he a learned scholar and sinless, but he is also a devotee of Lord Krishna. He has such a static love for Krishna that I have seen him rolling upon Krishna's footprints in the dust as if bereft of all sense. Similarly, one gopi gave a message to Krishna that Radharani, because of her separation from him, because of her enchantment with the aroma of his flower garlands, was rolling on the ground, thereby bruising her soft body. Right, so you see is that that falling and then also the rolling, then two aspects of that. 2.2.7. Singing. Right, so in here you see that there's something that's causing the Udipan, right? It means he's going along, he's lost a mental equilibrium because of seeing Krishna's footprints. Or the other is because of the separation of Krishna, smelling his garland. So these are then causing, so the Vibhava is then causing these Anubhava symptoms. 2.2.7. Singing. Moon of Gokula. Today, Radha, whose mind is possessed by the beauty of the Sri Raga, or the zeal of love, is singing a new song about you. Her friends have become like stones, and the stones have melted. Srila Prabhupada, singing loudly. One gopi informed Krishna that when Srimati Radharani was singing about his glories, she enchanted all of her friends in such a way that they became stone-like and dull. At the same time, the nearby stones began to melt away in ecstatic love. So they become like stones, and the stones have melted. You know. So you heard also before that with Krishna's flute. He plays the flute, then the Jamuna stops moving, and then we see that the trees and rocks and that they start moving. So like that, yeah. Jiva Goswami, raga here means either the melodic raga such as Sri Raga or simply Anuraga, meaning love. So it can be both, right? So in here saying the Sri Raga or the zeal of love, meaning it can mean the raga itself. There's a rag called Sri. So Krishna playing the rag Sri, then by being absorbed in that, they can, or just by their ecstatic love, it can be the same thing. Because singing can come up from all these. So we see, again, there's an Udipan, then we're getting the reaction. Suridam means her friends. Those friends became paralyzed, Jaratam, and the stones, Drishadam, became liquid like water, Jalatam. The letters Ra and La can be used interchangeably. Thus, one word can have two meanings. You know, so, Jaratam and Jalatam. They can be interchanged. Mm-hmm. And so then you get, one means is still and the other is moving. Because you see, the water can be still and moving. Right? So they go together. Shouting, 228. Because of the transformations brought about by the chanting of the name of Hari, Narada began shouting in such a manner that the demons immediately hid themselves, trembling in fear that Nrisimha had made his appearance. Srila Prabhupada, right? Because somebody's so ecstatic and all that, and then they get so worried. Who else but Narada Muni? Who else? And then the Lord appears. So last time he came as Nrisimha, that didn't work out so good for them. So they. Srila Prabhupada, when Narada Muni was chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, he chanted so loudly that it was apprehended that Lord Nrisimha had appeared, and thus all the demons began to flee in different directions. Right? So it's just the Lord's pastimes, because the name and Krishna are non-different, so the Lord then has these wonderful pastimes. Right? 229. Another example. O son of Braja's king, today in Vrindavan, the beautiful Radha, her heart melted by sound of your flute, was constantly shouting in agitation like a female osprey with a changed voice. Srila Prabhupada, crying loudly. A gopi once said to Krishna, my dear son of Nanda Maharaj, by the sound of your flute, Srimati Radharani has become full of lamentation and fear, and thus in a faltering voice she is crying like a karari bird. So you see, there's a slight, there's shouting, but then there's crying loudly. There's subtleties. It's in that context of that kind of ecstasy. That's why sometimes you see when they're mentioned, there'll be more mentioned. You know, they say there's only, I think, eight, but then there's lists of 11 or more, or other things are counted within them or not. It's because all these have subsections. There's a main section, but you can have subtleties within that. Does that make sense? Yeah. Jiva Goswami, Tarali Kritan Tara is formed from Tarala and the verb Kri. This particular ending called Svi indicates that the subject becomes transformed. In this case, the heart turns liquid by the sound of the flute. 2210, stretching the body. Narada, blissfully singing the names of Krishna on his veena, with a happy mind, stretched his body in a most astonishing way, and completely broke his sacred thread. That's some serious stretching. Srila Prabhupada, stretching the body. It is said that sometimes when Narada, the carrier of the veena, remembers his Lord Krishna in great ecstasy, he begins to stretch his body so vigorously that his sacred thread gives way. 2211, bellowing. Hearing the sound of the veena, as we get into here, now it's a little bit easier because it's external. We can see it now, so now we can start to relate. But the whole point is, this is just a manifestation of the part before that was subtler that we couldn't catch. Right? Yes. Hearing the sound of the veena, Shiva, his mind excited, bellowed in such a way that it destroyed the demons and gave the highest bliss to the devotees at every moment. Srila Prabhupada. It is described by hearing the vibration of Krishna's flute. Lord Shiva becomes very puzzled and begins to cry so loudly in the space that the demons become vanquished and the devotees become overwhelmed with joy. Jiva Goswami. He roared in a suitable manner continuously so that it made the devotees at every moment experience the highest bliss. Sada Navam Akarot. And it destroyed the associates of the demons. Sva Dhanavam. Viro Dalankara is used. Sadhu Vrinam Akarot Sada Navam could also mean the sound made the devotees become demons. However, that is a contradiction. By dividing the syllables differently into Sada Navam, the real meaning appears. Right, so that's important, is how you break. Because the acharya is doing something to be poetic and all that. So who's supposed to be reading this, right? The devotees. So then one would naturally break that follows the path of devotion. So to break it another way just will be unfitting. Does that make sense? Akarot. Isn't there a city in Egypt or something called Akarot? Huh? Akravat.
Agravat.
Not quite the same.
Without T at the end. AG.
So not the highest bliss.
No.
No.
Probably not.
No. 2.2.12. Yawning. O lotus, how astonishing that in the grove of blossoming water lilies, you have blossomed at the rising of the full moon on the eastern horizon. Srila Prabhupada. Yawning. It is said that when the full moon rises, the lotus petals become expanded. Similarly, when Krishna used to appear before Radharani, her face, which is compared to the lotus flower, would expand by her yawning. Jiva Goswami. O Radha, when the ocean of all arts, Krishna, who has appeared to give full bliss to the earth, arrives before you, it is astonishing that your lotus face shows lethargy by yawning. Right? So they're just taking all these poetic aspects of that. So by Krishna's appearance, then he himself, just by his ocean of all arts, so that aspect of his expertise and all these things, that then being the Udipan, then generates this yawning, right? In Krishna, in Radharani. 2.2.13, heavy breathing. When the monsoon arrived with colorful clothing, the Chataki bird named Lalita became increasingly thirsty, right? Because they only drink water straight that falls from the clouds. Mm-hmm. Seeing the form of that black cloud called Krishna, driven away by the strong breathing of the monsoon, and mixed with rain, she became disturbed. Srila Prabhupada. Breathing heavily. As far as breathing heavily is concerned, it is stated, Lalita, one of the gopis, is just like a chataki bird, which only takes water falling directly from the rain cloud and not from any other source. End quote. In this statement, Krishna is compared to the dark cloud, and Lalita is compared to the chataki bird, seeing only Krishna's company. The metaphor continues to say, as a heavy wind sometimes disperses a mighty cloud, so the heavy breathing from Lalita's nostrils caused her to miss Krishna, who had disappeared by the time she recovered herself. Jiva Goswami. Ambu Dagame refers to the monsoon rains. Tri Kanda Seisha says, Vatalo Vata Gulma Syat Charavayur Nigadha. Janila Pravri. Oh, okay. Pravri Shido Vasandato Malayan Nila. In the hot season, there will be strong winds and gales. In the monsoon season, there will be rain mixed with wind. And during the spring, there will be a fragrant breeze. Because of the strength of her breathing, and because of the mixture with tears, wind and rain, Krishna disappeared from her sight because of the disturbance of his cloth, due to his cloth. Right, so that in these different seasons, then you have the different volumes like that, and so because there was the wind and the rain, and so we're pointing in the different seasons, you have these, but with her, you had all of them. And then because of that, then until then Krishna, how you say? In the meantime, Krishna disappeared. 2.2.14. Disregard for all others from the 10th canto. Just see the unlimited love these women have developed for Lord Krishna, the spiritual master of the entire universe. This love has broken their very bonds of death, their attachment to family life. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.23.41. Srila Prabhupada, neglecting the presence of others. As far as neglecting the presence of others is concerned, the wives of the brahmanas, who were performing sacrifices at Vrindavan, left home as soon as they heard that Krishna was nearby. They left their homes without caring for their learned husbands. The husbands began to discuss this among themselves. Quote, "How wonderful is the attraction for Krishna that has made these women leave us without any care." End quote. This is the influence of Krishna. Anyone who becomes attracted to Krishna can be relieved from the bondage of birth and death, which can be compared to the locked up homes that were neglected by the wives of the Brahmins. 2.2.15. Another example from Padyavali. Let the big mouths gossip. We will not consider it at all. By tasting the sweet liquor of Hari, we have become joyful and intoxicated. Let us fall on the ground, dance, and enjoy. Srila Prabhupada. In the Padyavali, there is a statement by some devotees. We shall not care for any outsiders. They should deride us. We shall still not care for them. We shall simply enjoy the transcendental mellow of chanting Hare Krishna. And we shall thus roll on the ground and dance ecstatically. In this way, we shall eternally enjoy transcendental bliss. Right? So, as I said, the big mouths, we don't care for the big mouths. Like that. You know. Jiva Goswami. Nirvisham means let us enjoy. An alternative reading, which is also suitable, is Paryatama. Let us wander about. Putting all three verbs in the imperative first person is most suitable. The adjective ati mata also agrees with the subject, vayam, we. Right? So it means all of us together. So we don't care what those who are not interested in devotional service or those who are interested in gossip, what they have to say. We're just interested in being absorbed in Krishna's, you know, name, form, qualities, and pastimes. So then together, you know, then we'll all enjoy. Let them go on and criticize and do whatever they like. 2.2.16. Dhruva. I think that Narada, bitten by the scorpion of prema, is suffering in pain because he has fallen into a motionless state and saliva is dripping from his mouth. Srila Prabhupada. Drooling. As an example of the running down of saliva from the mouth, it is stated that sometimes when Narada Muni was chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, he remained stunned for a while and saliva oozed from his mouth. Jiva Goswami. Because he is Narada, his state must be caused by prema, but lying motionless and drooling are the symptoms of scorpion bite. Right, so that's why then it's used as there. So you take something that is the that is an aspect within the, because you'll, it means in the pastimes you see many times that they're taking these positions of ecstatic symptoms and comparing them to the medical. Well, the problem is then you have to get it out. You got to wash your hands. Yeah. So we'll use these at a time when they say, like in the room where it doesn't matter. But, huh? Yeah, what do you have there? Let's see. Abu has a box also.
I guess.
They're not sticky. Okay. This point is not sticky. Hey.
Not local.
Not local. Hence, not sticky. Local, sticky.
Makes sense.
Yeah, I'll take these in the room. Yeah, so they're taking, that's why you have all these different shastras and all that, so then you can take something from one and use it in another in the other context. That brings out the poetic aspect. Because you see between Krishna and the devotees, this rasa, that's the main point. It's not about mechanical expertise. They are mechanically perfect. It means that you're shown an art once and you can do it. Basically. Does that make sense? Yeah. So you're able to perform these different activities. And so that's then very nice. So here is that from the medical field, then if someone is unconscious and drooling, then that generally is a symptom of the scorpion bite. Because if it was snake bite or something else, it would be different. So then in this case, because it has those two symptoms, they're comparing it to that, but they know that the scorpion bite is that of the scorpion of prema for Krishna. Because it's Narad Muni, so you know the scorpion can't bite him. You know, it means they can try, but it doesn't matter. You know, it's like, because his body is spiritual, so. It's like Ravana tries to cut Narad Muni with his sword. The sword just goes, you know, through that space and doesn't even bother. Because they're functioning in two things. He's in the spiritual platform and that's in the material. So the sword goes through the material platform and he's in the spiritual, so it doesn't affect him. Mm. 2217. Laughing loudly. That laughing which arises from disturbance of the heart is called laughing loudly or atahasa. This is distinguished from the normal laugh, right? Because before we saw smiling, which was mentioned before, right? And then I'm not sure, is it here or previously it gives the five levels of that's here or before? Yeah, because you have the part of the smiling, it's just, you know, a little bit in the corners like that, and a little more where the little teeth is showing, then more where the full is showing, then where it's like, you know, the laughing comes, and then where there's jumping up and down and clapping at the same time. Yeah, so you have these different levels. So here it's distinguished from the laughing loudly to just the aspects of smiling. Right?
So atahasa is Sanskrit for LOL.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yes. An example. I think that the creeper of devotion in the heart of the servant of Krishna has been blossoming for a long time, because a multitude of flowers in the form of his loud laughing was shaking his trembling lips. Srila Prabhupada. Laughing like a madman. When a devotee laughs very loudly like a madman, it is done out of an extraordinary agitation of ecstatic love within the heart. Such mad laughing is an expression of the condition of the heart, which is technically called atahasa. When the devotee becomes affected with this mental condition, his love is expressed through the lips. The laughing sounds coming one after another are compared to flowers falling from the creeper of devotion, which grows within the heart of the devotee. Right? So they're saying it's growing for a long time because there's so many flowers. Right? So there's so much laughing here. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 19.162, devotional service to the Lord is also compared to a creeper which rises up to the lotus feet of Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. Jiva Goswami, the characteristics of atahasa are as follows. Utfula, nashika, randram, aloditam, muke, kshanam, udatam, vikra, vikri ta karam natye ta hasitam vidhu. Atahasya consists of rude, loud laughing with flared nostrils and agitated glances while dancing. Right? So rude means it's not a subtle or sophisticated, you know, like that. It's just how you say, more raucous laughing. Though the loud laugh presents itself as ferocious to an opposing party, when accompanied by abusive language, it presents itself as pleasing to one's own party. Thus it can be depicted as somewhat soft. In this verse, someone of the same party describes the devotee's loud laughing, which indicates scorn to those who criticize bhakti. Yes.
Akshya Shastra, Bharat Muni describes this laugh as a sarcastic laugh.
Sarcastic laugh.
If you want sarcastically laugh at somebody else, then you laugh at this.
Okay, yeah. So this is happening in just a static love for Krishna. But at the same time, it has that parallel that it would also be, that kind of laughing would be something where you're laughing at the other person, you know, and your party is very happy with that, and the other party is very disturbed. So in this case, it's just arising from a static symptom. So the other party is those who scorn or criticize bhakti. So they will not appreciate this laugh. 2219, whirling around. Oh my friend, dear flute. Krishna, on the pretext of blowing you, is certainly producing a gale. Otherwise, how does your sound alone cause the beautiful women of Braja to whirl around? Srila Prabhupada, wheeling of the head. One gopi told a friend, it appears that Lord Krishna, the enemy of the demon Aga, has released from his mouth a whirlwind which is acting on your head and is gradually proceeding to do the same to the other lotus-eyed gopis. So you see, does that make sense? So this is where you're using indirect meanings like that. But they apply in a very specific way. Like Jiva Goswami say, this breaking of the words, this works. Another breaking does not work. Because it has to follow the mood. So that prema that the devotees are having, that is static symptoms, then it's following that, and then you're putting it into all these other wonderful explanations. So it's not just the fact. That's why the thing about the facts being the important is not actually important. It's about the mood, the attitude, the feelings, the experience. That's the point. What makes sense? Facts may be generating, you know, part of the secondary aspects of generating that. But it's not the main thing. That makes sense? That's why they have their business, but it's not the main thing. Yes?
That's why, as like in Nati Shastra, when all these are described, then it's said that while performing an act, there are certain things that are supposed to be shown, certain things not supposed to be shown, because it's not according to the mood.
Mm-hmm.
Like somebody dying or something which is more obnoxious, it will deflect your mind in such a way that the effect of what is to be shown is not seen. So you cannot experience the
harm. Yes, yes. So, yeah. Does that make sense? So in other words, that you have a particular mood that's there, and that's what's being tasted. So then only those elements that support that, that's what's discussed. There may be other points there. There's just like, let's say, there's a mood going on and some people are talking, and then someone in that group mentions some point that just ruins the mood. It's a fact, it's true. But it didn't follow that, so that's why those aren't mentioned. Because the point is, it's not about facts, it's about what the mood is. Because the point is, concrete is what you experience. Abstract is facts. Facts are abstract, because you can do different things with them. So you have to see is then, what is the plane? Because we may say is, oh, but you know, I like these facts. But the point is, does Krishna like these facts? Is that how Krishna works? That's why then the Natya Shastra is there, to explain how it would be used properly. So what you bring up, what different aspects you bring out, where you'd emphasize. So that's the whole idea. Yes?
Also, the whole thing revolves around, like, the comparison is the modern kind of drama presentation. It's all about the plot.
Mm-hmm.
If you make all the plot good, then it's effective. The Natya Shastra, Bharat Muni describes, the drama is about what effect it creates on the spectators.
Oh, yes.
So it's like devotion also, the same thing, that what effect it creates on the person who's practicing devotional service.
Yes, yeah, because then if they're devotional, they'll create that. So that, yeah, they're just looking at the technique is good rather than what's the...
The second day.
Yeah, so you can see is it's always that the emphasis is on something other than the primary aspect. Because if it's with Krishna, that's why it'll always work out. But if it's not with Krishna, then it's only how close it is to Krishna without Krishna that'll make it work. Right? In other words, the closer it is to how Krishna likes things, that's how it will make it work. But the problem is, since it's not about Krishna, its effect will be not about Krishna. Is that... Yeah?
So does it mean that before Sai Baba is there, everything else is not important, because when it's not there, then we don't know how to behave, basically.
And how? What do you mean by non-important?
Non-important that all the secondary, because sthayi, it's the primary, it's it was mentioned existential mood or... whatever else happens, it's not important because sthayi isn't there.
Important meaning that it itself, not something's connection to Krishna, is what makes it important. So even in sadhana, since we're practicing, that's why we're following the footsteps of those who have that bhava. So rag anuga means following those with rag, right? And so this rag anuga, we're following then the example, the instructions of those who have that rag. So even we don't have the rag, we can still do the activities and be in the situations that those who do have. I mean, what they would do, how they would situate themselves. And so that's then the important aspect that we want. So therefore we'll follow that. And so then because we're like they are, we're connecting it to Krishna, then we get an effect like that. Because we're following what they do, pleasing to Krishna, important to Krishna. Therefore, because we're following them, that makes us dear to Krishna. And so then we get a result like they get, but on our level of realization and surrender. And so that's the whole thing is that one symptom before of that, what is it, not being, neglecting the present, disregard for others. So there's a disregard for the idea of material perfection. And so then it's a matter of we're doing what the acharyas say, and since we don't really understand the primary, we're using the secondary aspects that we do understand as nice as possible in pursuance of Krishna. That's why we can be very expert in applying the use of the secondary items, because that's what we have and we're trying to do, because they will do their best, you know, but theirs will be best because of their love. Ours will be the best because that's just mechanically what we can do. Right? That's how we're trained. Somebody said?
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, let's say someone who's technically good at something, you expect more in the way of how technically perfect it'll be. No?
Yeah.
Yeah. So then, so that's the way is it doesn't matter. So if it's not engaged in Krishna's service or it doesn't have any value in Krishna's service, literally it doesn't have any importance. Because it being Krishna's energy, if it's not seen in the context of Krishna, then that's inappropriate philosophy. We're not seeing things properly. Because the point is it is Krishna's energy. We can say what we want. You know, I just have to be practical, but it's still Krishna's energy. Right. Otherwise, then that mentality, as you pointed out, will bring you to a different state. Mm. So if we don't see it in that context of how it's in line with the acharyas, and so if then we avoid the line of the acharyas because we say, but we're not from that background. But then we have to say we're the body, we're not the soul, because the point is the eternal principle can always be followed. Right? It may be more towards the principle of it, more towards the detail, you know, in context of the principle. But in any case, you can always follow. And that's the meaning. We're trying to apply whatever is their instruction, their example, into our situation. But if we're saying, our situation is different, we can't apply these things, then whose situation is it? Whose application are we following? So if it's not the devotees, then it'll be the materialists. And how will that be a valuable identity for the devotee? Even though one's just saying it's practical, but this word practical is very much overrated, you know, when it comes to these social things. Because most people who say I'm being practical are not very practical. There are a few people that talk about practical, and they're really practical. But they're just talking about the nuts and bolts or something. You know, they get results. But others generally use it as a social and emotional kind of thing to distract people from, you know, the actual facts. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So one has to be very careful that, since the Vedic thing's about Krishna's pleasure, so that means his that rasa between him and the devotees, that is what has to be unfolding perfectly. And so that always has to be connected. That's why, let's say, we manage something, but we don't consider the devotees and the feelings and how they'll experience it, then it wasn't actually very good management. Even though in our mind, it was mechanically perfect. But the point is mechanics are mechanics. You're doing a management to affect a result that will give it a particular experience. So if the experience didn't come out right, that means mechanically it was wrong. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Maharaj, can this example fits here, like Srivas Thakur losing his son and he's telling his wife not to make him because Mahaprabhu is experiencing Sankirtan Rasa?
Yes, because that's going on, because the point is the family member has left, but the point is who's left? Right, the soul, the body's still there. So what you call your son is still there. So what's gone is the soul. You know what I'm saying? So it becomes a very mixed kind of thing. You can say, "Oh no, but you know, we don't care." But the point is the soul's gone. How are you gonna do? You know what I'm saying? So the form that's there, the gross and subtle body, that's produced from from the Mahatattva, from the universal form. And so that acts in its particular way due to the laws of the universal form. And so that's why it acts in the way and does and has that personality. So the soul that left doesn't actually have that personality. Does that make sense? So that understanding that, then you can see a sense the absorption in the Lord is there. Therefore then he's thinking that you don't want to disturb that transcendental mood that he's having. Because, you know, then how will that benefit the son? Because if they lament over the son, you can't do anything about bringing the son back. It's just a matter of you feeling that this is important to us and we're focusing on that and getting some emotion from it, so therefore it's important. Does that make sense? It's natural, it's not there. But if you put it in the context of the transcendental, it's not that you can do anything. So Lord Chaitanya is engaged in this ecstatic mood. And so they don't want to disturb. Does that make sense? So then, yes, it has a time for when something would be revealed and when something wouldn't. So that's their consideration. You know? I'm not sure how did Lord Chaitanya react?
He brought back the...
That's there, but did he say anything? Or did he mention why didn't you say something? Or he didn't say that?
Yeah.
Because... The normal thing is when something like this happens in a family environment, it's mentioned. Because that's also then you're part of the family. So you're looking at, he's tasting the transcendental ecstasy. That's there. But at the same time, he's also interacting with the devotees. So interacting with the devotees, then something that's important to the family, then would be something that would be discussed. And so that they didn't discuss it, he's saying, why didn't you tell me? You know, but he's also, you know, it's not that he's not appreciating their consideration of him and his happiness. But at the same time as being part of that family scene, then naturally one would say something. You understand? So you have all these different considerations going on at once. So they were thinking in this way, and Lord Chaitanya is mentioning in the other way. Does that make sense? So because they worked in that way, the way they did, in consideration of service to Lord Chaitanya, at the same time as then when the right moment it was expressed and all that, therefore then we see Lord Chaitanya's bringing the son and things like this. But otherwise, if they're just crying and lamenting and stopping the whole Sankirtan, then it's kind of like, hey, he's not the body, why are you doing this? And that, you might get a different reaction. Because so they're looking at it from that transcendental point of view, in the pleasure of the Lord, therefore then it continues and the pastime unfolds in that way also. Does that make sense? You know, so therefore then Lord Chaitanya brings the son back to life. And then what does he do?
Same thing, like who's
he did the same like in Chitraketu. which which parents are you and all that. Yeah, because then that instruction is there because it's important. Because we're saying, oh, this is my child and this is, you know, that unique aspect. And it is unique because of it's a combination of particular qualities of the universal form. But the uniqueness is that in the universal form, is in Krishna, not in the dead matter. Because how can dead matter have personality and all these different qualities? Right? You know, Earth doesn't have the quality of smiling so nicely. You know what I'm saying? So that has to come from somewhere else. So Earth may be what's expressing that. You know what I'm saying? But it's not that. So ultimately it goes back to that personal aspect, but you have to see the personal aspect based on the transcendental platform. Otherwise if we say, oh, but you're just by saying all this philosophy, that's impersonal and this and that. Impersonal on what level? On the spiritual level, no. Maybe on the material level. So as devotees, if we can't all see how to work within the material and the spiritual at the same time, then there's a weakness there. So for just being personal, you know, I mean, you know, emotions and like that, that we drop purely to the mundane platform and consider, well, that's better than not doing that. And at the same time, as there's no spiritual consideration, then that's the meaning of that the transcendentalist drops down to the philanthropic platform. Because that's what you're considering, is all the emotions, the feelings, and all that. So people are saying that yeah, before we were, you know, so spiritual and that, but we didn't care about people and all that, so we have to care about the people. But in doing that, they're not adding that in, that they're all part and parcel of Krishna. And seeing the non-difference in there. Because there are only certain kinds of people they're feeling that affection for. Other people are not. Mm-hmm. So it's not on the transcendental platform. So then that means from that transcendental position they drop down to philanthropy. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean, you know, when they're doing temples they're not absorbed in their chanting and all that. But once they stop that, then they go back into the philanthropic. Mm-hmm. And you could say that's a better position than before where they didn't care. Mm-hmm. But you can't say it's spiritual. And the only reason it's developed is because of devotional activities. Because otherwise, as a karmi, they might not have developed that. You know what I'm saying? So it's just a matter of you purify, then it brings you to a particular an awareness of the external environment. Does that make sense? So one has to be careful. It's not just Mayavadi sannyasis drop down into this philanthropic. Yes. Any transcendentalist can. So you always have to be careful. Yes. It means what you see is the devotee has the nicest qualities and cares about everybody, but it cares about all living entities. Mm. Does that make sense? Mm. Not just the ones that fit into their book of who's worth. You know, in other words, you have a list of who can be the victim. And if you fit, you know, and your attitude's right, then you're accepted in that way.
Selective compassion.
Yes, selective compassion.
Maharaj, it is very tricky most of the times, this falling from transcendental to this philanthropy. Then how to avoid, like many times...
Stay transcendental. Means absorb oneself in Krishna. Good, good, good. The point is the soul's nature is to be connected to Krishna. So that surrender to Krishna, the person, right, and the devotees, that's the actual position. These other points are natural qualities that come up in that position. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. You know, it's just like, let's say, Srila Prabhupada's going by and he sees some homeless person digging through the garbage looking for food, right? So Prabhupada's, you know, is very disturbed by that. Right here is Krishna's living entity, and they fall into such a position in their karma and all that by their bad activities that now they're having to look through the garbage like the dogs, you know, like that. So that's not a good position. And so then you see is that Prabhupada then establishes the food, you know, the, what do you call it? It was called ISKCON food relief. You know, it's just he wanted prasad distributed to everybody. Mm-hmm. Right? So something's being affected. They could say, oh, but he didn't go over and do something there. He did something for a much bigger, broader thing. Well, someone can go over and you express that feelings and emotion, but do you do anything for them? You know? Does that make sense? So you have to see is that he's seeing the context of the soul who's the eternal servant of Krishna, not just the emotional compassion for another living entity. Because that's the mistake that Bharat Maharaj made. He wasn't seeing in that context. Because if he is Krishna's living entity, the deer wandered off, Krishna's going to take care of him, however he's supposed to be taken care of. It's not that Bharat Muni, he's maintaining the deer. He may have been there at the time when it was the opportunity to take, he could do something, so he saved the baby deer. Like that, and he's in the ashram, he's taking care. Like that. But at the same time, he's ultimately Krishna's, and then what happens to him, that you have to let go. Krishna will take, so it's not his business. You know, if he goes out, calls and this and that, then it's there. If not, then, you know, he's just hiding somewhere. You know, it got storm hit under a rock somewhere. You know, it's just up to Krishna. Or if it didn't, it's Krishna's business. You know, so you can say, no, you have to do something, and then what happened? So you have to know what is material sentiment and what is the spiritual. So that takes a practice. That takes knowledge. Like I mentioned before, you can only understand through paravidya. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premananda.